Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for this day that you have woke us up in, Father. Lord, we know that there are many, many people that are hurting, Father. We know there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of sorrow. But, Father, we know the answer is to trust and obey in Jesus Christ. Our answer is to have a relationship with you, Father, that you long to have with us. And, Father, I pray today that we would come into your house, Father, with praise and thanksgiving. We would come broken, Father. Break our hearts. Let us see the need that we have, Father. The need of a personal relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, without you, we are absolutely nothing. And we just come before you this morning and pray and ask, Father, that you would take total control of us. Father, that we would forget about the things that's happening around us, Father, and just to block out the things that are happening right now for the next hour or so, Father, so we can spend some time alone with you. And, Father, I want to pray for our pastor, Lord. I want to lift Brother Cal up to you and pray, Father, the message that you have given him today, Father, that we will hear what you are trying to tell us, Father. Lord, that we will truly trust you and we will obey what we hear. And, Father, we pray for the Sunday school teachers today, Father, all throughout the house, and ask your blessings to be upon them. Thank you that we have a place that we can come and to praise you, to worship you. And your house is called a house of prayer. Father, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. How many of you would rather be here than in the best cemetery in Clarksville? That's what I thought. After preaching honoring the Sabbath, I thought we'd have a full house this morning. Anyways, I'm glad y'all are here. And Sundays are special. Sundays are special because our God is special. And this morning we find ourselves in the fifth commandment of the God's perfect ten. And you remember Jesus in Matthew 22 in verses 36, 37, I think 38. Here comes that check, Lottie. Amen. All right. Where was I? Goodness. Thank you. Matthew 22 and verse, Jesus shrunk the 10 into 2 in your New Testament. A young lawyer asked him, said, what's the first and greatest commandment? Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is like unto the first, love your neighbor as yourself, for in these two are all the law and the prophets. Hang all the law and the prophets. And so this morning we're looking at the fifth commandment. And at the very top, now, let me say this. The first four of the ten have to do with our relationship with God. The last six have to do with our relationship with one another. And so at the very top of those last six commandments is the family. A commandment to the family. You do know that so goes the family, so goes the nation. I mean, and the family is in trouble. The family is under attack. And really like never before in our country and our nation. And so if you have a Bible this morning, we want to read this fifth commandment together. And if and I know we've been up and down, but let's honor God's word by standing if we can. If you can't, just honor God's word in your seat. the best way you know how. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Father, add your blessing now to the reading, the teaching, and the preaching of your authoritative word for our lives. And help us all to say yes. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. The family, this is a commandment really for the family. And you may say, well, you know, I can just kind of check out today because my kids are gone. Or I don't have any kids. Or guess what? If you're here, you've got a set of parents. Look at your neighbor and say, I know your mama. All right. Now, as I mentioned before, the family is under attack. And I believe there's no coincidence that God put the fifth commandment at the top of all of these commandments that had to do with our relationship with one another. And when's the last time you saw a godly male and female in a marriage that family was functioning like it was supposed to on television or in the movies? Now, I'm old school. I mean, Melinda, I just am. You figured that out, hadn't you? But, you know, I remember those old television shows like Make Room for Daddy. Y'all probably don't even remember that one. But I Love Lucy, the Dick Van Dyke Show. And then in later years, you know, Little House on the Prairie, you had these pictures of what a godly family, a good family ought to look like. And they functioned properly. And the husband and wife were happy and the family unit was together. And for instance, today, now these are old movies here. How many of you loved Home Alone? 1, 2, and 3, I think. Yeah. But did you know, when you really stop and think about it, the mom and dad of that family looked like bumbling idiots because they ran off and left their son on Christmas not once but twice. I don't know if you ever saw E.T. That's an old movie too. But in that movie, the children had to teach the parents how to do what? How to treat an extraterrestrial. And so over and over and over again in today's media, the family is just seen as a dysfunctional, not operating in the way that they're supposed to. Now, this is not a secret. I grew up in the 60s and 70s. And I want to tell you, my generation was kind of rebellious. We were. I mean, it was, you know, if it feels good, go ahead and do it. That was our motto. And our motto was, don't trust anyone over 30 years of age. And we rebelled against authority figures. We did. Make love, not war. I mean, it was amazing. It really was. Rebellious generation. That's my generation. And you know what? That bunch of folks are the ones who are in charge today. I'm telling you the truth now. And as a result, leadership in our country today doesn't really understand family values. And they don't know how the home's supposed to function. And they sure don't know what the Bible says about the home. But I've got good news for you. We're going to look at what the Bible says about the family today. Amen? I can't wait to get on this subject because it's near and dear to my heart. How many of you have a family? I don't have a family. Yes, you do. We've all got family. And so I'm going to do my best to help this message apply to everybody that's here today. Now, I want to give you three quick truths this morning that will help all of us to apply the fifth commandment and fulfill the fifth commandment, rather. And the first thing that I want to say is obey your parents when they're young. What does it mean to honor your father and your mother? And by the way, in Exodus 20 and verse 12, that's a warning that your days may be long upon the earth, upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. It comes with a warning. But the word honor means to lift someone up in high regard, in esteem. So what does it mean to honor your father and mother? Well, I'm glad you asked. Turn in your Bibles, if you have a Bible, or you've got a phone that has a Bible app on it, turn to the book of Ephesians. And let me chapter 6, and let me just read. I think Elle and I'll read the first three verses rather than just first three. If you're following along in your outline, obey your parents when you're young. Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents. How? In the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, here's a New Testament promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Did you know that the home is a training ground for us to learn how to submit, surrender, and yield to our authority figures? You learn how to obey those folks that are over you in the home. And can I just real quickly tell you, you are never going to be over anyone until you learn how to be under anyone. That's called kingdom authority. And it is in the home where we learn how to obey. And the scripture here in Ephesians says that obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And it comes with a promise that it may go well with you. And so here's the first great truth. Obey your parents when you're young. And if you'll obey your parents, you'll live a blessed life. Now, I didn't say you'll live an easy life. I said you'll be blessed. Your life will go smoother. It'll be better. Anybody with me today? If you'll learn how to obey your parents. I grew up over on Lacey Lane. And there was tons of young guys, boys my age, that grew up over there in that neighborhood. We had a park out back, and every afternoon it was game on. But there was a family in our neighborhood, and I won't tell you who it was, but there was a young son and an older son. And that younger son loved his mom and daddy. He did, to the best of his ability, everything that they told him to do. He always had a smile on his face. He was a breath of fresh air. And he obeyed his mom and dad. Now, the older son was my age. And he was a constant source of heartache for his mom and daddy. He did not like to obey his mother and father. And he had trouble growing up. Never learned how to be obedient to the authority figures in his home who were his mother and father. Now, both of these boys grew up. They left home. And parents, that is the goal. Okay? That is the goal. To raise them to be productive citizens so that they may leave. Okay? So, having said that, some of you mamas are frowning right now. Yeah. And the younger son that I'm talking about, he wound up living, he's a productive, I believe he's a pharmacist. And he's in church and he's got a great family and he's had a good life. He's been blessed. Well, guess the older son has had all kinds of trouble in his life. Couldn't hold a job. He's been in and out of jail his whole life. He's addicted to all kinds of things. I mean, his life has been rough. Why is that? Because the promise from Scripture is if you'll learn how to honor your mother and father by being obedient to what they tell you to do, you'll live a blessed life. Now, that's a general promise. Now, not every person lives to be long in the tooth or old, okay? Jesus is the best child that ever lived. Hello? I mean, there wasn't ever a better child growing up in a home than Jesus. And he died as a young man, 33. So this is a general promise, but I promise you today, I'll give you this promise. If you will learn how to obey your folks there in the home, you'll live a better life. You'll live a blessed life. But obeying mom and dad also not only leads to a better life, it pleases God. Turn right in your Bible from Ephesians. Look at Colossians 3. Colossians 3 and verse 20. Children, obey your parents. Colossians 3 and verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well, what's that next word? Pleasing to the Lord. And then let me just go ahead and read verse 21. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Obeying your parents pleases God. He likes it when we learn how to do that in the home. There are some sins listed in Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 30, and 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And we would call all of these sins vicious and vile and horrible. And do you know the one of the sins that's in the middle? Well, let me just read some of it to you. Just sit there and I'll find it for you. Romans chapter 1, listen to this. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. That's right there in the middle of that. Same way over there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. You see, it pleases God when a child learns how to obey his mom and dad. Well, Brother Cal, you just don't know who my folks are. No, I probably don't. Do I have to obey them even if they're asking me to do something I know is wrong? Ephesians 6, verse 1 said, honor your father and mother, obey them in the Lord. The only time you don't have to obey mom and dad is if they're asking you to do something you know is unscriptural or immoral or illegal. All the rest of the time, guess what? That's right, you be obedient. You live in a way that honors God in your home. How much better would our nation be today if we were operating under this commandment? I had one lady in here that was bold enough to say amen. I'm just giving you gospel truth. And by the way, I'm not the one who wrote the book. God wrote this book. And it's something we need to hear today. And so if you're not living, if you're growing up in someone's home, whether you're a son or a daughter or a grandson or a granddaughter, a lot of grandparents raising kids today too. Hallelujah. So there's the first key to live in a blessed life and pleasing God. It's being obedient to your mom and dad. Here's the second thing, though, that jumped out at me. You not only obey your parents when you're young, you not only honor them that way, but we're also to care for our parents when they are old. There is a movement today going on in our country and in our nation to kind of discard and marginalize our senior adults. It's like if they're not productive and they're not just on top of their game, then we just need to kind of move them out of the way. And a lot of older children have capitulated to our culture and said, here, you take care of my folks. Let the church take care of them. Let the senior citizen place take care of them. Let home health care take care of them. Let some hospital or assisted living or nursing home take care of them. Now, let me preface everything by saying this. If your folks are older and they've gotten to the point where they can't take care of themselves anymore and they need medical attention, they probably need a facility to go to, unless you can afford to hire someone and bring them in full time. Okay? Y'all with me there? Not putting you down. All I'm saying is, well, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. And look what the Word of God says. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And so if you claim to be born again and you relinquish your responsibility to help care for your elderly parents, your faith is false, fake, and most certainly fractured. Your religion is not real. I don't even like the word religion. But if you've got an older mom and an older dad, by the way, your mama went down into the depths of death to give life to you. And she birthed you and cared for you and nourished you and nursed you and raised you. Your daddy, for the most part, went to work and worked like a dog so that your needs could be met. They took care of you when you were sick. They took care of you when you were in trouble. They cared for you. Now it's your time to care for them. I was, as a pastor, Diane and I moved away from here in 1994, I believe it was, or the end of 94. I went on to seminary and wanted to get some training and education. And so we spent the next 25 years away from Clarksville. And while we were gone, my mom and dad got old. And my dad had leukemia and then wound up with dementia the last 2 years. Matter of fact, Dad went home 10 years ago this Thursday. 10 years ago this Thursday. And I want to tell you, my other three sisters, Susan and my brother-in-law, Shan, were still here. But I'm so thankful. When I couldn't be there every day for my dad, my sister Susan and my brother-in-law Shan were there for them. And it blessed me to watch them take care of them. And then I didn't really realize it, but when God called us home, He called us home also to help take care of our aging parents. And it blessed me. My mom went home about a year and a half ago. And some of your folks, you miss them. But one of the greatest works my wife ever did was help take care of my mama. And now she's taking care of her daddy. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, if we don't care for our own, we are worse than unbelievers. And if your parent has to go to a nursing home or an assisted living or a retirement home, that's okay. You just be as involved as you can be with that. Care for them. Love on them. I don't know who I'm preaching to in here, but take care of your folks. By the way, your mom and dad didn't ask to be your parents. They've never been parents in another life before. We make mistakes. Amen? We make mistakes. And so, be forgiving with them. Did y'all know that at one point in time, every one of you all were one of 5 million sperm cells? racing down this long corridor in a race, trying to find an egg cell. And bless God, you won the race. You found one. But it wasn't some accident. It was the providential hand of God giving you life and conception and birth. And it's no accident that your mom and your dad are your parents. Now, I know not every parent's perfect. Not all of them's great either. But I want to tell you, I'm so thankful for the song we sang. Your Heavenly Father will help you, will be the kind of father that you need if you didn't have one growing up. And He'll provide folks for you. And so let's learn how to obey our parents when we're young. Probably ought to do that even when we get old. And then care for your folks when they get old. But here's what I really wanted to get to. Let's honor our parents at all times. Honor your father and mother. That's pretty clear, isn't it? The word honor, again, means to hold in high regard, to lift them up, respect. Here's the first one. I'm going to give you, if you're taking notes, I'm going to give you five quick applications to honoring your mom and dad at all times. First thing that I think that really helps is show them some respect. Show them some respect. By the way, Leviticus 20 and verse 9, Proverbs 30 and verse 17 are both two harsh warnings for those children who will not respect their parents. And it's not good. Two harsh warnings. Show them some respect. Little boy was writing out a card for his mama. And at the lunch table, he put this card beside his mama's plate. And so the mom sat down for lunch and opened it up, and it said, "Dear Mom, $5 for cutting the grass today. $5 for taking out the trash today. Total bill, $10. Well, the mom read that thing. Didn't say anything to him. But then at the dinner table at supper, she left a note for this boy. It said, "Dear son, $5 for washing your clothes. $5 for ironing your clothes. $5 for feeding you 3 meals today. $5 for taking you to your ball games this week. $5 for taking you to the doctor last week when you were sick. Total bill, I love you." Respect your mom and dad. Show them some respect. I better not ask for a show of hands. The whole house might come undone. But if you've ever been to a courtroom or to the courthouse and you were there in the courtroom setting, and all of a sudden, the judge came in. What did everybody do? They stood up. And what did they call him? "Your Honor." You see, they respected the position. Now, you may not agree with the sentencing of the judge. You may not like the judge. You may not, but you respect the judge because of his position. And it's the same way with kids and parents. We respect them because that's who God placed in my life as our mother and father. Are y'all with me today? Show them some respect. I love you, Mary Margaret. How many grandchildren do you have? 18. And how many great-grandchildren do you have? 28. You are a highly esteemed young lady. Hallelujah. I could have asked some others. Show them some respect. Then secondly, express your gratitude for them. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." That's what it says. Just thank your mom and dad from time to time. Thank them. Thank them. Show your gratitude. Express to them that you're grateful for everything that they've done for you. I was looking at my phone. You wouldn't believe how much it cost your mom and dad to raise you. It's close to $1 million if they go to school. I'm talking about college and all that stuff, right? Thank them for their patience with you. Thank them. Show them some gratitude. I want to tell you, Alex Postel is going, she's being deployed next month. And we're going to pray over her and Sam. But I want to tell you, she has peace about going away for 6 months because she's got a great husband named Sam, and she's got the grandmother of the year right here. Amen? Just say thank you from time to time. Show them some gratitude. And then thirdly, listen to their counsel. Listen to their counsel and advice. I love what Proverbs 1 and verses 8 and 9 talk about. It talks about putting on your parents' advice and counsel and wear them like you would a jewelry around your neck. Somebody asked me, believe it or not, last month I believe it was, how to get to Waynesboro. You don't just show up in Waynesboro. You got to make plans to get down there. He said, what's the best way? And so he knew that I'd driven that road hundreds of times, and I have. And so I told him the roads that you want to take, any shortcuts that you want to take, the roads not to take. I told him about all the gas stations that he needed to buy gas at along the way. I said, if you get hungry, here's the restaurants you eat at along the way. Told him how long it would take him to get there. And he said, wow, you really? I said, yeah, I've been there, done that. And by the way, your parents have been there and done that. They've got the experience that you might not have yet. When Mom and Dad got back off the mission field, and I was already pastoring a church, when I would call Dad. Anytime I had a problem, anytime I had a situation I didn't understand what to do, I would call my dad. Now, I'm really prejudice, but my dad was Phi Beta Kappa at Vanderbilt. They can't play football, but I tell you what, they're scholars. Phi Beta Kappa at Vanderbilt. And one of the smartest men I've ever been around. And so I would call Dad from time to time, getting advice and counsel, not only about the church, but about my family and life itself. And I'd tell Dad what the problem is and he would think about it, and we'd talk about it. In 2 or 3 minutes, he'd say, son, here's what you need to do. And y'all know what? 95% of the time, if I just did what my dad told me to do, it worked out. Listen to the advice and the counsel that your mom and dad will give you. They've been there and they've done that. Here's the fourth one. Y'all ready? Y'all just sitting on this, I know. Live a godly life. I read this verse all the time. 3 John, verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Diana and I shine like the sun when we see our kids growing in godliness and our grandchildren growing in godliness. It makes my day to see them walking and striving. And by the way, there's a lot of things you can teach your kids, but let me encourage you with this. The best thing you can teach your kids is to love Jesus. Get them in the Word of God. Teach them the Word of God. Live the Word of God in front of them. And God's Word will not return void. And let me just add, this is just a side note. I think it was, Colossians 3 verse 21 said, fathers, you could also say, mothers, don't exasperate your children. Don't discourage them. In other words, don't be the kind of parent where whatever they do is never good enough. Encourage them. In other words, provide more strokes than pokes. More bragging than nagging. Encourage your kids. And when they see what God's doing in my life and her life, I can't tell you how many of you know what I'm talking about when your mom and dad are in their 70s or 80s and they tell you, I am so proud of you. I'd run through a brick wall every time I heard my folks say that for them. Here's the final thing. Show them some love. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, now these three abide, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is show your parents some love. Now I'm going to give you a little bit of advice right here, and you're going to think this is so corny. Write them a love letter. Don't email them. Don't send them a text. Don't post them. Write out a love letter for them. That is so corny. Yeah, but after they get up out of the floor from fainting and have read it, they'll read that letter over and over and over again. They'll read between the lines, and you know what? They'll never throw it away. Ever. Show them you love them. Tell them you love them. Y'all, I've done hundreds of funerals. Hundreds. I've kind of gotten to be Clarksville's funeral pastor. I don't know what that says about me, but anyways. But at a lot of these funerals, I see children buying ornate caskets, spending high dollars on everything, exquisite, expensive flowers. And most of the time, do you know why that is? It's because they never took the time to say, I love you, Mama. I love you, Dad. And showed them that they love them by their actions. You remember this. Dead noses smell no roses. Give them their flowers right now. Tell them how much you love them. I debated about doing this because I didn't know if I could make it through it or not. But I was not the best son when I was 19 to 24, 25, something like that. And I gave my mom and dad a lot of heartache. But you know how it is. When you're, you know, in your young years, you know, when you're 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, you think mom and dad are the greatest thing since sliced bread. They're your heroes, right? And then along you get to be about 12 or 13 and you think, you know, mom and dad don't really know quite as much as I thought they knew. And then by the time you're 17 or 18, your parents don't know anything, right? But bless God, by the time you get to be about 30, you realize your parents knew a whole lot more than what you thought they knew. And by the time you've hit 48, 49, your parents were geniuses. And at my stage of the game, I wish I could talk it over with Mama and Daddy one more time. Tell them you love them. Show them you love them. It'll make all the difference in their life and your life. There they are. I put that on Facebook yesterday, and immediately there were 150 likes and a lot of posts. Because you see, they've run their race. And I guarantee you, my mom and dad, not because I'm somebody special, because I'm not, but because they were special in God's eyes, they heard these words, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your salvation. Maybe you're here today and your children are estranged from you, or your parents are estranged from you. I would encourage you to do this. Pray about that. Just pray. You don't have to go to anybody. Just go to God and give them your children and your grandchildren. And ask Him, God, what do I need to do to make this relationship right? Please show me. Read your Bible. Stay in the book as you're praying that prayer. And you know what? Here's what I believe. I believe God will fix it for you. Susan, did God fix my situation for me? Yeah, He did. God can make it right. He really can. Let's pray together. Father, help us. Help us, God, to learn how to honor the parents that You gave us. And if we can't do that, we can at least honor the position that they have of authority in our lives. And Lord, there's no way we can love our parents or our children unless Jesus is the Lord of our life. And I'm so thankful that You loved us before we loved You. And so we need Your love today to accomplish these things that we need to do in our life. I thank You so much, God, for the grace that flows from heaven's throne this morning, that we can not only have the relationship with our family that we've got to have, that we need to have, that's Your perfect will for us, that we might be in right relationship with one another. Because we can't be in right relationship with You if we're out of fellowship with our family. And so, Lord, we surrender afresh and anew this morning to Your will and Your way. Father, by all means, maybe there's a mom or a dad or a grandparent here today, and they need Jesus. If you need Jesus today, it's simply a matter of faith. If you'd be willing to turn from your sin and by faith receive Christ and ask Him to forgive you of your sin and surrender to Him, give Him everything that you are, He will receive you today. You just call on Him. He will save you. And for some of these other issues, this altar is always open. We believe in families here at Second Mile Church because we believe God's doing things in our family. Lord, help us now to say yes to Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. In His name we pray. Amen. If you prayed to receive Christ today, I want to ask you to just come. Just come and tell me. We'll get some stuff in your hands, and we'll pray over you, get you started right in your new life with Christ. If you're here today and you need prayer, man, we got some prayer warriors here. We'd love to pray over you, with you, and for you. But you need to come. You just need to say yes. So let's all stand.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.